The topic for today, this month, is Shifting the Beis Hashem, how to prepare for Chodesh Elul. We know that Rosh Chodesh Elul is Shabbat Sunday, and the first day of Chodesh Elul will be on Sunday. And the question last year, I believe I spoke about whether the two approaches to Elul, is Elul special in itself, or is Elul only a preparation for Yom Narayim, the High Holy Days? However, today I'd like to speak about what should our attitude, our approach, our avodah be during Chodesh Elul. And I always heard stories, you know, that, let's say in Europe, when people walk around during Elul, you would see fear on their face. I have to be very honest. I don't want to say I'm an older person. I'm not as young as I used to be. I don't remember growing up in America, or even in Eretz Yisrael, people walking around in Chodesh Elul and you see fear on their face. And to be honest with you, I don't really see Rosh Hashanah either. Not so much on Rosh Hashanah Yom Tshuva, maybe a little bit on Yom Kippur. Now, Pasuk says, Ari Yishad Milo Yiroah, the lion roars, who will not be afraid? And the holy books, it says, Aryeh is Elul Rosh Hashanah, Yod Yom Kippurim, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, who is not afraid? So I don't know if that's the approach that we as Jews, you know, necessarily have today. And I reflected upon this yesterday, actually. Bears to say, I overslept a little bit. And I couldn't make it to my minion in my own shul, so I was trying to find a minion. I did something that I usually don't do. I tried to find a minion. I ended up not. Wasn't that late? I woke up 5 minutes late, so I went and kept catching a 7:20, 7:30 minion. Just I waited to in bet, Ramachet Shemesh bet, and I davened by the Satmar Shtiblach. Like from time to time, to daven in certain shuls that don't necessarily have the same hashkafa that I do. And as I was standing by the bima waiting for Chodesh to begin, I noticed on the bima a sefer called the Divrei Yoel, which is a book from the Satmar Rebbe Zecholon Levracha. And I decided to see, I don't have a chance really to look at his forum, to see what, you know, what he has in the Parsha, Parsha Zerei. And actually, beginning of the Parsha was a very beautiful idea. And there he started off by quoting the beginning of the Parsha, Rei Enochin Nesen Lechem, Sabracha v'saklola, quoted in Medrash Chazal. Kadosh Baruch Hu places before us bracha and a klola, and then Chazal say, and look how Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about you. Another place in the Torah says, v'charta v'chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to choose life. And he tells us to choose life. And Sama Rebbe asked, seems obvious, v'charta v'chayim, you should choose life. What's the big chiddush? If someone says to us, be careful, choose life. So, why do we have to be grateful for that? Of course, it's an obvious choice. And he said there are two ways to look at Judaism, to look at Yadus, to look at Torah. And those two perspectives are definitely found today. Do we find Torah to be something where a person looks at that, I have to do it, I can't do this, I can't do that, and he walks around all the time just being concerned about, you know, if I do this, this is going to happen to me, if I do this, it's going to happen to me. We look at Yad as an opportunity to grow closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And every time we do a mitzvah, or we don't do an Aveira, it's an opportunity to grow closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Uvachar to Bechayim means that we have to have an opportunity, we have to choose life, we have to choose happiness, and as we are involved in Limud HaTorah and Shmirat HaMitzvot, learning Torah and doing mitzvot, we have to see our choices as growth in a way to go kosher to Kadosh Baruch Hu and being a privilege. And that's who Bechar to Bechayim. Torah is telling us that we have to choose life, to live life and appreciate life, and not look at everything the Torah tells us as being something which is, you know, just looking at the Torah that I feel like I'm always being watched. Yes, I have to keep every single mitzvah. But everything that I do, doing mitzvahs and not doing averos, is really an opportunity, and through this we can really appreciate every single aspect of Judaism in the Jewish year, because it does help us to grow and appreciate what the Torah is. And therefore, as I was thinking about the Shir and seeing this idea, I thought, well, maybe that today is our perspective on Chodesh Elul. Maybe we're not supposed to walk around in Chodesh Elul and be afraid and be frightened. But maybe Chodesh Elul was supposed to be an opportunity for us to grow closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we should see Chodesh Elul as a tremendous opportunity for us and something to grab onto. As a matter of fact, the Hasidim refer to Chodesh Elul as Melech Basodeh, that the king, the Chabad, the king is in the field. So to take advantage of opportunity of what it means when the Melech is Basodeh, the king is in the field. So if I would try to understand what Chodesh Elul is and what our attitude is supposed to be, I don't want to use the word mitzvah, but for us as Ashkenazim, so Chodesh Elul basically is personified in two ways. The whole Chodesh. Number one, depending upon the minhag, but Motzi Shabbos or Sunday morning, we'll begin to say L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. And that will say a whole Chodesh Elul, and that will say, except for the minhag Hagra, I think, and that will say through Esther Shemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance. And in Eretz Yisrael, I think the custom in most places, it's the last day we say L'David Hashem Ori is on Hoshana Rabbah. In Chutz La'aretz, the outside land of Israel, we stop saying it on Shmini Atzeres, here on Hoshana Rabbah. And obviously, Tkiya Shofar. I'm not going to speak about Shofar today. And if we think about what L'David Hashem Ori is all about, then obviously, I assume when we start saying it, we'll think about every pasuk. But to me, the pasuk that sticks out is pasuk Dalet, chapter 27, source number 1 in Tehillim. Acha Shualtim Yes Hashem. David HaMelech, King David, says, there's one request I have of God. Osa Avakesh, that's what I desire. Shifti the days Hashem. I should dwell in the house of God. Kol Yemei Chayai, all the days of my life. Lachsos B'Noam Hashem. To go in and to see the pleasantness of God. Ulevakir B'Heicholo, and to visit in the sanctuary. So, Acha Shualti. What does Acha Shualti, what does Avakesh mean? The Malbin on the pasuk, and the verse points out, it's not a simple question. I have one question. But it's also a bakasha. It's also something. What's a bakasha? It's a request. It's not just a question. He masha chafetz belibo. A bakasha is something that I really want. It comes to my heart. So what do I really want out of life? What do I want? I have all these things I ask for in Shimon Asrei. All these things. All these things I might think about on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Teres Yemei Tshuva. But what do I really want? And the pasuk says, Shifti Yaveis Hashem, Kol Yemei Chaya. Now, the Panim Yavos asked the question. He says, David HaMelech, he looks throughout Sefer Tehillim. He says, David HaMelech had one request? One bakasha? Look through Sefer Tehillim, there's so many things David HaMelech asked for. So many things, everything, well, his whole personal life is reflected in Tehillim. So what does he mean, Acha Shualti? He says, however, he mentions the Gemara in Maseches Tainus. The Maseches Tainus, Gemara tells us the person should never ask for two things. And therefore we make a bracha, we focus on one idea, one request. And if it seems like there are two requests, that means the two requests are very much related and interrelated. So David HaMelech was saying that whatever I ask for Shemon Esrei, it's all about Acha Shu'alti Meis Hashem, Shifti Beis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. Everything I ask is one request. Everything, the trouble for my soul, the issues I was dealing with, with Shaul HaMelech, with Avshalom, everything I was dealing with, it's all about one thing. Shifti Beis Hashem. Shifti Beis Hashem. And as a matter of fact, that's what the Panim Yafo supplies it back this week's parsha. Because it says, Re'ei Anochi Nosem Lefnechem Es Habracha V'Es HaKlola. Es Habracha Asher Tishmu'u. So he says, the bracha, not that you're going to go ahead and if you listen, you'll get the bracha. The bracha is that you will listen. What's the real bracha? The real bracha, everything that we do, the real reward for a mitzvah is the fact you are listening. Maybe we'll come back and explain that. But it's all about Shifti Beis Hashem. Everything I do is I want to dwell in the house of God. So the truth is, even I do a mitzvah, the real pleasure is the mitzvah itself, because that helps me dwell in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, it's a little problematic, because
even though David HaMelech says, Achashawalti Meit Hashem, Chit Meit Hashem, David HaMelech goes on and says, I want to see the pleasance of God. I want to visit in this Heichal. Like, what does that mean? So, Kedushas Levi, he says, Kedushas Levi points out in source number 6 and source number 7 that what David HaMelech is saying, that we have to know that man has to always see himself as always in a state of growth. And therefore he's saying, Acha Shualti, right now this is my request. But just because my one request is granted, that doesn't mean that I'm done. After that I'll have another request. And what that really means is that Shit the Beis Hashem, there are degradations of what a Beis Hashem is. There are degradations of what it means, Lachav Noam Hashem. In other words, we can dwell in the house of God, create a house of God, but this house of God can become greater. And therefore he's saying, I always have one request, and that's dwell in the house of God. And even though I might ask for something else, and something else, and something else, what I want to do is I want to grow. I don't want to stagnate. I don't want that once I see the house of God, I should stop growing. I want it to become more of a house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he goes on, he says, Lachos of Noam Hashem, which can go ahead and help us and create the house of God in a stronger way, to see it and feel it in a stronger way. So I'd like to do today, and this idea of growth, by the way, is a very, very important idea. My father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, used to always quote the Gemara of Maseches Shabbos. Gemara Maseches Shabbos quotes that when Yosef was thrown into a pit by his brothers, Gemara says, the Habor Reik Ein Bomayim, Torah tells us the pit was empty, there was no water. And Chazal tell us, the rabbis say there was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions. So my father asked, how did Chazal know there were snakes and scorpions? They weren't there. Pointed out that nature does not exist in a vacuum. You know, if you dig a hole, and you don't put anything in the hole gets filled up. Right? So if there's no water in the hole, there's got to be something else in the hole. And what else will be in the hole? Snakes and scorpions. Because we always have to go ahead and move. We can't be in stagnation. And if we're not going to grow, whatever we accomplish, we might go back. And that's why David HaMelech says, Acha Shoal Meis Hashem, I have one request. All I ask for is Shifti Beis Hashem, to let me live in the house of God. And after I reach that, I still want it to become more of a house of God. And that's why he goes on, and he says, Lachav Benoam Hashem. So I'd like to do today is to really explain, what does it mean to be a Beis Hashem? This is what Chodesh Elul is about. This is what Yom Neroyim is about. This is what Sukkot is about. What does it mean to be a Beis Hashem? So, the word Bayis, the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, symbolizes something very, very special. Gemara Maseches Pesach in source number 3 quotes the Pasuk, My dechsiv v'holchu amin rabim. What does it mean when it's written that many nations will go? For amru and they'll say lechu v'nalo har Hashem. Let us go up to the mountain of God. El beis el kei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. So he said el kei Yaakov is referred to as the house of the God of Yaakov. Below el kei av Yitzchak, and not the house of the God of Avraham Yitzchak. There's something about the word bias that connects to Yaakov Avinu and not to Avraham Yitzchak. The Beis HaMikdash referred to a Har Hashem, the mountain of God, which is Avram. We'll see in a minute. But in terms of being a house, that's Yaakov Avinu's house, our father Yaakov's house. So the Gemara continues, Lo ka Avram shekasuv bo har. It's not like Avram, where a mountain was written about him, at Beis HaMikdash Shenemar, as Avram said after the Akedah, Asher Yomar Hayom Bahar Hashem Yiro'eh, V'lo ki Yitzchak Shekasa Bo Sodeh, and not like Yitzchak, that is written in the field, and we know that Yitzchak went Lasuach the Sodeh to daven the field, Shenemar Yitzchak Yitzchak Lasuach Bo Sodeh, Ela Yaakov Shekara Bayis. This is like Yaakov was called a house. Shenemar, it says, Vayikra et Shem Hamakom Ahu Beis El. They called that place Beis El. Yaakov Avinu called the place where you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to it as a bayis. what makes Abaye special, and that's what the Torah focused on. So he says, it's not that a bias is more elaborate than a field. It's not that a bias is more elaborate than a mountain. After all, mountains are very beautiful. It's what makes a house special. So the Torah to Mima, in source number 4, in Bereishis Perek Chavches, we're speaking about the Beit El, quotes the Zohar. And from the Zohar, which is in Aramaic, the Torah to Mima extrapolates that the fact that a bias is better is not because a bias is fancier. A bias is more elaborate. He says, however, a mountain symbolizes the relationship that God has with every human being. Jew, non-Jew, every human being. But a bias, a house, that symbolizes the relationship that God has with us. Just like a bias symbolizes the relationship between husband and wife, the house symbolizes the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, has with the Jewish people. And that's why there's something, and this is something which Yaakov Avinu, Avraham Avinu, was there for all the Umos HaOlam. Yitzchak Avinu was there for the nations of the world also. But Yaakov, once he gave birth to the Shevatim, was there for Am Yisrael. Yaakov created the idea that there's something very special going on between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the house symbolizes our relationship. The Netzach Yisrael, the Maral, in source number 5, sort of confirms what the Torah Mima says. He says that when we speak about a house is intrinsic. The relationship is intrinsic in a house. For example, you can have a family that goes and spends time in a field, that goes to spend time in a mountain, to climb a mountain, for beautiful mountains, but it's all temporary. And all of a sudden you take away, you move away from there, and the relationship is not there. There's something about a house that's very intrinsic to the relationship. He says, and his words are, we'll try to understand why that is, that the house, the chibur of Hashem Yisbarak, is the connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, with those who are found there. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused. Yaakov caused. Yaakov, it's not just that Yaakov created the idea of a house, but Yaakov created the idea that there should be something intrinsic about a Jew, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always connected to a Jew. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as a house, because the house, the Beis HaMikdash, symbolizes a constant connection that we have with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He finishes off, oh, Ahar V'Asada is not like that. The mountain and the field. Why not? Because a mountain and the field, that's temporary. No one stays in a mountain and the field forever. He says, he just wants to live there. But a house, a house is something very special. Somehow or another, you always come back to the house and it just reminds you of who you are. I have to tell you, this is a very difficult moral. I want to explain this and hopefully try to understand it. But just on a simple level, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I certainly experienced it. You know, you grow up in our parents' house. Hopefully, most people have good relationships. And you get married, you build your own house, and every so often, you go back to visit. And I remember every time I went back to visit my parents, and I went into my own room, and it didn't make a difference whether I was married without children. I had one child, I had two children, I had three, I had four, just trying to think, I had four children. He says, it's interesting, four children. Every time I went back, I felt like a little child. And it was so strong, that feeling. I remember that a year after my parents petir, I went back to help close up the house. And it was such a difficult experience because I felt like a little child who lost his parents. There's something about a house. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash refers to something intrinsic to relationship. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash refers to a house. So when we say shifting the Beis Hashem, we're saying my only desire is to dwell in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To go ahead and make it a house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu where I feel a very strong relationship to Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what I'd like to do in the shiur is to explain what that is and how we can feel that. So, if we look at source number 8, in source number 8, the Torah tells us, Shmos Tarecha Pasuk Chafalev, Mizbeach Adoma Tasali, that you should make a Mizbeach of dirt for me, Mizbeachta Allah Nesolasecha Veshlamecha, and you should be Makribana to Korbanos, Sonchas Bacharecha, the Chol Hamakom Mashir Askira Shemi, any place we mention my name, Abu Elecha Verechticha, I will come to you, and I will bless you. The Gemara in Sukkah on this pasuk, Daf Nun Gimel Aleph, tells us about the Simchas Beis HaShoeivim, the celebrations in the Beis HaMikdash during Chag HaSukkos, and the stars at this Simchas Beis HaShoeivim were the Chazal, were the Chachamim, and the Gemara tells us what a Hillel do, and he would give a whole speech, he would talk, he'd be so happy, and he would say like this. Who are your Omer? He'd say, "Lamakom sha'ani ohev, the place where I want to go. Sham ra'ali malichos asi, there my feet lead me. I really want to go there." In Tavo El Beisi, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "If you come to my house, ani avo el beisecha, I will come to your house. Im ata lo tavo el beisi, not come to my house, ani lo avo el beisecha, I will not come to your house." Shenemers, it says, wherever you mention my name, Avu Elecha, I will come to you, and I'll give you a bracha. So he says, so what does that mean? In other words, he says, it doesn't mean just the Beis HaMikdash, which obviously Hillel is referring to. But the Torah Tumim on source number 10 points out, it refers to shuls. It refers to Bati Medrashos. That if you come there, if you come to the shuls to mention my name, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you come to the Beit Batei Midrashos, the place we learn and we daven, says, then I will go ahead and I will come. I will go and I will come to you. And then I will give you a bracha. You come to my house, I will come to you, and as Torah says, in that house, and then I will come to your house, and I will bless you. So there's something about coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house, the Beit HaMedrash, the Beit HaKnesset, Beit HaMikdash, whether it's during the week, whether it's on Shabbat. And if we do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to us. And why? What is unique? What happens when we come? When we come to the Beit HaMikdash, what happens? When we come to the Beit HaKnesset and Beit HaMedrash, what happens? So there is a beautiful traditional Fol Hirsch. Shirval Hirsch, in Dvarim Perik Zion, Pasuk Zion, he says this all over. He says, "Ubishalta v'achal to the makom." There's a halacha that if you bring a korban, so you have to cook it and eat it in that place. Ayivchar Hashem Alkecha bo, ufanista babol lachol lecha. And then the next morning you get up, you turn around, and you go back to your tent. In other words, Torah is telling us that if I go to the Beis HaMikdash and I want to be Makar of a Korban, I'm not allowed to just go be Makar of the Korban and then turn around and go home. I can't get back on the train and go back to Beit Shemesh. I have to stay there overnight. And this halacha, not only does it apply to a Korban, but this halacha applies to the Yom Tovim. And as a matter of fact, the Torah tells us that on Pesach, so I come at Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm Makar of the Korban. And I sit the Seder night with my family, with my Chabur, it's called. And we have a Seder, a beautiful Seder. And the next day, I go to the Beis HaMikdash, and kind of it's a Balila Regel. I've been in Yerushalayim one night already. Ufanisa Baboker, the next morning, I have to stay overnight again. Which applies to every single Chag, I can't immediately go back home. And why? He says, so Shimshon Fol Hirsch says, that anyone who brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, even if all he brings
our birds. He brings a korban mincha, a flower offering, wine, eitzim, a wood. He says, you don't go back from the Yir Hashem immediately. He says, however, everyone requires lina, staying overnight. He says, and the person has to go ahead, and he has to stay around the Beit HaMikdash that night. And he says, why? See, he says, because the point of going to the Beit HaMikdash, the essence of the Beit HaMikdash cannot be reached by, say the words in Hebrew, ha-maisa ha-activity, some activity. But the maisa of reaching what you want in the Beit HaMikdash is only if this action is maspia, reflects upon you and influences you and affects you. He says, and what we want to do. And therefore the Torah says, after you bring the korban, you have to go ahead and you have to wait around the Beit HaMikdash in order to think and focus on what just happened. He says, and in other words, and overnight, and after that, thinking a whole night of what happened, then you're a changed person, you can go home. But the point of the Beit HaMikdash is to be makor of a korban, to offer a sacrifice, to go to the Beit HaMikdash, and to think about it, so it can affect you. And this is a very important lesson. I don't see this so much in Eretz Yisrael, but, you know, many times when I'm giving a shir to more of the youth in America, so immediately after I finish the shir, they clap. So one time I said, I want to ask you all a favor. I worked very hard in this year. And if you want to clap, you can clap. But I want you to wait 60 seconds. And after 60 seconds elapse, I want you to clap. Because I want you to think about this year. A lot of times we're distracted. So a person's mocked the korban. I did the mitzvah. I want to move on. Torah says no. Ufanisa babokir, yalach l'holach. So then what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you come to my house, I'll come to your house. I'll make your house into a Beit Hashem. However, you have to come to my house. And not only have to come to my house, you have to think about what happened. You have to learn the lesson. And only then you can go ahead and you can come back to your house. So the first step in coming in becoming a Beit Hashem, the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to my house, saying, mentioning my name, and thinking about what happened, being influenced and being affected by it. And when that happens, then you can go home. Because then that is the first step of the Beit Hashem. To somehow or another bring the bracha that you learned in this other place and bring it home with you. That somehow it should inspire and it should affect you in a certain way. So that's Shimon Shmuel. And he said this in other respects also. For example, I think maybe in the Sif says this. And let's say, for example, the last day of Pesach. So what's the reason last day of Pesach? To reflect over the first 6 days of Pesach. Because you can walk out of Pesach, okay. Let's get the chametz out, it's all over. But somehow or another has to go with you.
Same thing
with Shmiyat Teres. Shmiyat Teres also. The same thing with Shmiyat Teres. I don't remember the Sif saying, I remember by Pesach and say, but I think he applies this in the Torah. You have to think through. You have to go and you have to think through. I'll tell you an interesting. I once was part of a self awareness seminar. Yeah, I'm not allowed to say who went with me. It was actually excellent. I think actually it was called the Shofar. And they did a certain exercise, which was if I think back, it was, I forgot what we did already. I really forgot. I think it was a certain type of breathing. I usually don't do these kind of things, all right? And we reached a certain point, and people started, like, it was wild. And I reached a certain point, and I didn't get past that point. And I realized afterwards why. Because I realized, okay, so I reached this point, what do I do with it? Where do I go? Is it going to help my davening? Right? I sat there, and I felt a certain closeness. It's going to help my davening. So I left the davening. So I started saying Tehillim. Alright? And that was it. I was done. And I realized, I spoke to them afterwards, well, you know, you can't jump into Tehillim. I don't know when you can jump to Tehillim.
But the point was that you have to go ahead, and when you reach a certain goal, you have to think about it, you know, see how it affects you, and somehow take it with you and not jump to something else. And that's the idea. Go to the Beis Hashem, see how it affects you, and then make your own house in the Beis Hashem. That's the first step. What's the second step? So the second step is lachzos b'noam Hashem, to see the pleasantness of God. What does it mean to see the pleasantness of God? How do we understand to see the pleasantness of God? We say it every Motzei Shabbos. So the first time this is mentioned, it's actually in Sefer Vayikra, in the source sheets, it's in Sefer Shmos, that when they finished building the Beis HaMikdash, and Moshe and Aaron came to bless the people. So if here in the source sheet, it's Vayikra Peretech, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayavah Moshe Ba'aron Olamoeh, Vayetzu V'yivorchu Esa'am, Vayera Kvod Hashem Al Kol Ha'am, and the honor of God appeared before all the people. So how do they bless the people? Vayetzu V'yivorchu Esa'am, he says, V'amru V'hinoam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, and Yerushim Teshishra Shechina Mas Yadechem. So he said, the pleasantness of God should be upon you. And what is the pleasantness of God? It should be the will, that the Shekhinah, the presence of God, should dwell on all the actions of your hands. Why did they give this bracha? So Rashi continues. Because Lefisha kol shivat yimei ha'miluyim, for all the 7 days of consecration, Shemidu Moshe la'mishkan, then Moshe Rabbeinu put the Mishkan up, Yishamishbo, when he served in the Beis HaMishkan, as the Kohen Gadol, or Parku b'chol yom, when he took it apart every single day, lo shorsebo Shekhinah. So the Shekhinah did not dwell. But how you strong, the Chlamim, the Jews were embarrassed, they felt denigrated, they said, what's going on? But Omer Lamoshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, all the work that we did, Jatishra Shekhinah Beinenu, V'nodesh Neschat Elonu Avon HaEgel. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, I don't understand everything we did, and we're still suffering for the Egel. The Kadosh Baruch Hu won't cause His presence to dwell. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'yi Noah. And what does Noah mean? He says the Shekhinah should dwell. Why dwell? So the Malbim on that pasuk of Noah points out that Noah means to feel pleasantness and accomplishment. That you feel like you accomplished something. That's, in other words, you build something, you teach something, you learn a sugya. The word Noah, you clean a car. And you feel a certain pleasantness, wow, I really accomplished something. But Noam Hashem is a little different. It's feeling the pleasantness that you were able to see your closest HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you accomplished something in terms of your Avodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, it's not enough. It's not enough that a person has to go to the Beis Hashem and think about it, what he accomplished. But he has to realize he accomplished it. He has to realize that something was done. He has to realize that. And I want to point out that you shouldn't think that this is only something which comes when it comes to davening. We're talking about Chodesh Elul. That a person has to think that everything he does the whole day is Noam Hashem. He made the Beis Hashem and he's accomplishing the Avodah of Hashem. But it's not enough just to say, I went to the Beis HaMikdash, I went to Shul, I went to learn, I did this mitzvah. A person has to come home and feel, wow, I really feel accomplished. Then on to the next mitzvah. I really feel accomplished. Then on to the next mitzvah. That's a very important concept. You know, when the Jewish people built the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk's not here. The Navi tells us in Malachim that when they came home from this big party, 2 weeks, Ismeichim betovei lev. In other words, they came home. Even after they came home, they realized, wow, we accomplished something. In other words, when you go to the Beis Hashem and God goes with you back to your house, it only works if you feel like you really went ahead and you really accomplished something. You really accomplished something. You know, I know it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. We always go to shul. We always do this. But you have to somehow feel like I accomplished something. This is an example. You know, I remember one time I was in the mountains of the Catskills. I had to leave very early to catch a flight. And where I was, in camp, so I had to leave, let's say, for example, 5:30, 5 o'clock camp time. Okay? In camp, you know, no one's up at that time. And I wanted to catch a minyan for Shacharis. So I just made some calls to the Buffalo colonies, you know, during the week in the Catskills. So The men who are in bungalow colonies don't want to wake up early. You know, I have to be at Kennedy Airport by 9 o'clock in the morning. So if I can leave very early in the morning, then when I get to Monticello, he said, I'm going to follow the first chassid that I see. In the car. So I get to Monticello, and I like right there, and I see a chassid, I follow him. He makes a right, I make a right, he makes a left, I make a left. And this is where I'm like 3 minutes, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm probably in a wild goose chase. And all of a sudden, he pulls up to a shtiblach, right? Stop for shtiblach in Monticello. So now I know where there's a shtiblach in Monticello, and I walk out of there, I felt so proud. Wow, I actually got a minion. That's how we feel. We do a mitzvah. We do something. We have to feel it's something, so then we can take that back with us. Take it back with us to the house. Okay? But it's not just davening. It's not only doing a mitzvah. It's not just saying Tehillim. It's not just learning. Avodas Hashem is exhibited, especially in Eretz Yisrael, in many different ways. There's a Gemara Maseches Kedushin that Pei Beis Amud Aleph. And there's a beautiful Chassam Sofer that I've spoken about many times in my show, and I don't know why this Chassam Sofer is not publicized more and more. It should be plastered on every single wall in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nahore Omer, there in Maseches Kedushin that speaks about the obligation for a father to teach his child a profession. Says, I will leave behind all professions in the world. The Ein Milam is B'ni El Torah. Now I'll teach my son Torah. Why? So Adam Ochel Mischar Bolam Hazeh Va'Keren Kayemes Olam Haba. Because a person can eat from the schar in this world, and the principle will remain for Olam Haba. Nothing like Limud Torah. Ushar kol umnos ain't okay. Someone else is not like this. Because adam vali they chol they zikno they yisurim. A person is not well. A person becomes older. He starts to have certain challenges. He can't be involved in malacha. Who are mesh berav? He says nothing like Torah because the person will always learn Torah. Amal Torah ain't okay because the Torah watches over you. The naruso and it gives you achrus v'tikna. It gives you a hope for your and for your old age also. So, first of all, I once heard that Rabbi Nahorai really is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Nahorai was the name Rabbi Meir had when he was in Chutz Laretz. And if you look at it, it's the same name. Rabbi Nahorai means light, it's in Aramaic. And Meir is to give off light. And the Chassam Sofer says something about getting into a whole, involved in a hole. He says, I saw in the drushas in the Torah, it's in the Maseches Sukkah, without getting into how he explains the Sukkah, Chassam Sofer says, Rabbi Nahorai only said this in Chutz Laretz. Only in Chutz Laretz is it preferable, maybe, to teach your son to only Torah. But in Eretz Yisrael, he says, whatever you do in Eretz Yisrael is Avodas Hashem. Because we're building up Eretz Yisrael. Now, I don't necessarily have to accept what the Chassam Sofer says about Chutz Laretz either, because you can building up Jews, building up the community, you can build up the world. Rabbi Nahorai went ahead, and that was his approach to life. But the Chassam Sofer says, Eretz Yisrael, everything is Avodas Hashem. Because everything you do is Avodas Hashem. So therefore, when I talk about making your house in the Beis HaMashem, by being inspired by God, by doing a mitzvah, by davening, say, everything that we do outside the house, and it's for Avodas Hashem, especially if it's to build Eretz Yisrael, and you bring that back and you realize you accomplished something, so then that really is Avodas Hashem. I'll give you another example. One of my children, so when he started high school, he was very much interested in geography and history. Not so much anymore. And he was telling people that he wants to go to university, and he wants to become a history professor and a geography professor. So someone said to me, how can you let him study history and geography? Do you know all the professors? He said to me, don't believe in God? I said, listen, I said, I don't know. But I said, wouldn't it be wonderful to have one historian, one professor of geography who believes in the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Wouldn't that be wonderful? He's going to be the one. Unfortunately, he did not touch on history and geography anymore, but, you know, you grow older. But everything you do can be Avodas Hashem. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Even in Chutz Laretz,
And especially in Eretz Yisrael, we walk the streets here. We build buildings here. We build institutions. We live here. It's Avodas Hashem. But you have to take this Avodas Hashem and real Avodas Hashem and take it back to the house. And that's Lachzos B'Noam Hashem to come back and say, wow, I did this. This is amazing. And what's the third step? The third step is Levakir B'Heicholo, to visit our Kadosh Baruch Hu in the sanctuary. So what does that mean? We already said, you come to Beis Hashem by somehow going into God's place, whether it means the Beis HaMikdash, whether it means a shul, a yeshiva, whether it means doing Avodas Hashem outside the house, doing Avodas Hashem in your house. What does it mean, Levakir B'Heicholo? And Rashi says, Leiraos, he quotes Donash, Shon B'chol Boker U'Boker. You know what Levakir B'Heicholo means? It means constantly, every single morning. Every single morning. That's what it means. In other words, it has to be constant. And I was thinking that maybe Chodesh Elul is a time to work on our consistency when we do certain things. That's the time. Because you know, the year, throughout the year, we're busy, we have challenges, and maybe, we might lose that consistency. And to go ahead and have a Beis Hashem, we have to work on our consistency. Personal story, sort of embarrassing. When I first moved to Ramat Beit Shemesh, long time ago, 19 years ago, I was one of the first 50, 60 families in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And we moved to Ramat Beit Shemesh, and it was very difficult to get a minyan there. And I think there was one minyan, it was like 5:45, 5:40 in the morning the first few weeks. I was teaching Yerushalayim. And, you know, like for a few days, I just couldn't put it together. And I'm embarrassed to say, I was davening in the house. And then the week of Slichos came. And I went to Slichos, Motzei Shabbos, and I'm not sure if it was Monday or Tuesday, but I missed Slichos. And I said, oh my gosh, I said, I never in my life, never missed a day of Slichos. Never. And I said, I just have to readjust a little bit. And I figured it out, how to go to Minyan every day, in Yerushalayim a little bit earlier. And that's Ulevakir V'Heicholo, to realize that something has to be consistent. So we say L'davar Hashem Ori, we blow shofar. But whatever we do, whatever our Avodas Hashem is, we have to be consistent about it. And to realize the importance of consistency, there's a Medrash. This Medrash is not found anywhere in the Midrashim. But the Ein Yaakov quotes it in his Hakdama to Shas. How did I find it? I just simply took out an Ein Yaakov, copied the words, Googled it, I found it quoted online. But it's only found in Ein Yaakov. And the Maral discusses this in this Medrash. So we know the famous Chazal, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, loving your friend, it's a great klal in the Torah. He says, and then Ben Zoma says, there's a better pasuk. What's that? That's Shema Yisrael. The Nana says, this is a different medrash, Vavre Chachamocha. And Shimon ben Pazi Omer, Matsinu pasuk Kol El Yoter. I found a greater pasuk. What's that pasuk? Esakeves or Echo Tasa Baboker. That we have to bring a korban in the morning and a korban in the afternoon. That's a greater pasuk. Who do we paskin like? Even though it's Ashkafa. Amar Raploni al Raglov, but Amar Halacha Kibem Pazi. I don't know who Raploni is. Raploni is just someone unanimous. Someone who we don't know who he is. Anonymous. If Raploni is how Klal Yisrael feels. But what's the greatness? What's the uniqueness of this pasuk? If our Kedah Se'echor, Tasim Abokim. And the uniqueness of this pasuk is that what a person does b'tmidus, this is a real eved. A real eved is somebody who's consistent. So there are many questions we can always ask. He says that when you do in the morning, in the klal galav haTorah, you can have Avir Hamocha. You can have Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
You can go ahead and there are other psukim. There's another pasuk. The sefer told us to Adam. But the most important thing is to be consistent. That's the most important thing. Because when a person is consistent, that shows that he is a true Eved. He is a true Eved Hashem. Now, sometimes I've been asked the Shaila about when a boy should start putting on tefillin. So we know that minhag of Klal Yisrael in general is to put on tefillin from the month before the Bar Mitzvah. The minhag of my family is 2 months before the Bar Mitzvah. There's some people who put the tefillin on the day of the Bar Mitzvah itself. And some people, I think, Taimanim, do it for longer. And I remember the one time somebody had a problem because he said his son was going on a tiyul like 2 days after Nachas Tefillin, and he didn't want his son to take the tefillin with him. So he says, can he miss 2 days? He said, no. Once you start, you got to keep going. You can never miss a day. You want to wait another week before he puts it on? That's fine. But you can never, ever skip a day. Consistency is the key to Avodas Hashem. That's what's important. So coming back to the original question, how do we make a Beis Hashem? How do we create a Beis Hashem? How does the Beis Hashem show that we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it unique to Jewish people? Because the Jewish people, they believe in consistency. We do it every day. Day in and day out. You know, it's even, I was thinking Tisha B'Av. We sit Tisha B'Av and we don't say Tiskabel. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't mention a part of Kaddish that God accepts our tefillos. After Megillas Eicha, in the morning, only until Mincha. So I was thinking, on Tisha B'Av this year, it's funny, God doesn't accept our tefillot, whatever that means, but we still daven. Because a Jew has to always daven. It doesn't make a difference what day of the year it is. A Jewish person has to always daven. We say Shema, everything that we do. Why? Because consistency is what defines the Jewish people. That no matter what happens to us, we continue, we move on. And therefore, in Chodesh El, we come in and we want to create a Beis Hashem. Create a Beis Hashem so we can affect us for the entire year. How do we create a Beis Hashem? We go to a place of Avodas Hashem. Whether it's the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's a shul, whether it's a yeshiva, whether it's to do a mitzvah, whether it's to be involved in something that might seem mundane, but it's still Avodas Hashem. And we think about it, we realize what we did, and we see it affects us. Then we come home, and we say, wow, we were involved in Avodas Hashem. And then, that's Lachzun of Hashem, and then Levakar Beheicholo, we do it consistently. And someone just told me, and I'm sure this happens in many houses, that during Chodesh Elul, so a certain person I know, he comes home from shul, and how does he wake up his children in Chodesh Elul? Blows the shofar. He blows the shofar, and blows the shofar in the house. And there's some people who might not have other children that way, but they'll blow the shofar in the house. I don't blow the shofar in the house for one simple reason. I don't know how. It's a chachma. I don't know how. But I give the shofar to my kids to blow. But he says, but it's symbolic. Because what does it show? It shows that I'm bringing the kedusha of outside in. I want to make the house into a Beis Hashem. And that is what I think today Chodesh Elul should be. At least for me. Chodesh Elul is an opportunity to turn the house into a Beis Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, and that's Melech Basada, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the field, which means that it's more available, God is more readily available to help us turn the house into a Beis Hashem. And that's done by being involved in Avodas Hashem, bringing it home, realizing it's an Avodas Hashem and being proud of it. And of course, knowing, as the Berditcher said, we have to keep going. We can't be satisfied. Keep doing more and more, and doing consistently. And that is the Beis Hashem that we aspire to live in the Chodesh Elul, that Melech want. That's our one request. Everything we want to do during Chodesh Elul, everything, every mundane act even, is to make it a Beis Hashem. And from there, we find ourselves prepared for Yom Nerayim and for the rest of the year.